We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 8. And our question for today is this: is it wrong for a Christian to sue a fellow Christian? First of all, we want to read this passage, and we want to notice very carefully and very closely what it does say and what it does not teach. Let's begin reading in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong, and defraud, and that your brethren. Paul clearly says in this passage that these people were wrong for taking each other to court. The vital question, however, is this: what were these lawsuits? What was the nature of these cases? For what reasons were they suing each other? And that is where we need to look closely at what the Bible says in this passage so that we can rightly divide the word of truth and correctly apply this Bible teaching. So let's begin in verse 1. These Christians had a problem, and that problem was conflict. All congregations are going to have disputes. All congregations are going to have conflict. And Corinth especially had problems with people not getting along with each other. They were especially prone to this because they were prideful and they were jealous. And any time that you have pride and jealousy, you're going to have conflict. You're going to have people that have disagreements and have resentment and arguments. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride comes contention. And in James 3, verse 16, the Bible says, where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Pride and envy bring on these people problems. What does the Bible tell us to do about these conflicts that we have in congregations among fellow Christians? How does the Bible tell us to handle those disputes? Well, the Bible says, first of all, if it's a small thing, then be long-suffering, be forbearing, and show all the love and try to be a peacemaker as best you can. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible tells us, if it's at all possible, we need to have that peace in a congregation. We need to maintain the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. And in Romans 12, verse 18, the Bible says, as much as lies in you, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. So first of all, if it's a small matter, then don't make a big matter out of it. But if it is a sin, if it is a transgression against a fellow Christian that needs to be dealt with, the Bible tells us how to deal with that situation. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he will hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. But if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So there are steps. There is a process. There is a method for dealing with conflict in a congregation. Now, these Corinthians were not practicing these teachings. They were going to law before the unjust, the Bible says in verse 1, dare any of you. So Paul is basically saying, how dare you to do this? If you have a matter against another, if you've got a problem with each other, why are you going to law That is, you are going to court, you are suing each other before the unjust. Notice that you have these Christians who are going before unbelievers. He calls them unbelievers in verse 6. Brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. So these Christians had problems with each other, and instead of settling their problems among themselves, they rushed off to court. Now, right away, of course, this sounds strange. It sounds unreasonable. Why would these Christians do this? Paul is saying, why would you go to non-Christians to have them to mediate in a church problem? Those people don't have the same convictions. They don't hold to the same standards. Many of those people don't even believe in God or believe in the Bible. So Paul is telling these Christians, you ought to do everything that you can to settle your problems among yourselves. Now, of course, no church is perfect, but generally speaking, you're more likely to be treated fairly by people in the church than by people outside of the congregation. Christians should be qualified. They should be able to settle these disputes. That's what Paul says in verses 2 and 3. He says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" The Bible says that the saints, that is Christians, will judge the world. How? Well, it won't be by our decision, because Christ will be the judge in the last day. But we will judge, in a sense, the world by our actions, by our example, by our life. This is the same sense in which you find the word condemned or judge in Matthew 12, 41 and 42, where Jesus said that the men of Nineveh would rise up in the judgment and condemn the people of his generation, and the queen of the south would do the same thing. This is the idea in Hebrews 11, verse 7, where the Bible says that Noah prepared an ark and he condemned the world. Now, he preached to the world, that's true, but in Hebrews 11, verse 7, the Bible shows us that he condemned or judged the world by his example. So Paul is saying in verse 2 that in the day of judgment, the lives of Christians will, in a sense, judge or condemn the lives of sinners. Paul's point is this: if your life is going to judge the world, then why are you asking the world to judge you and to settle your problems? And if you are going to judge the world, which means that you know the world is wrong and God is right, and you know more about right and wrong than they do, then, as he asks, are you unworthy? Are you unqualified to judge the smallest matters? Those words in verse 2 are the key to understanding and to rightly applying this passage. Paul is talking about them not being able or not being willing to settle the smallest matters. Look at verse 2 again and mark those words down. In this context, Paul is talking about these Christians suing each other over the smallest matters. It's interesting when you look at the church at Corinth that they had a big problem, the problem of one of their members living in fornication, and they refused to make a decision or a judgment about that. That's chapter 5. They also had conflict with each other over the smallest matters, but instead of settling this between themselves, they rushed off to court to unbelievers to have those unbelievers judge their dispute. So they did this with the smallest matters. That's what this passage is about. It is not about big issues. It is not about really important disputes. It is not about arguments that mattered. It is about the smallest, the least little things. So these Corinthians made big issues into little ones, and they turned small matters into huge controversies. That is what this passage is about. Christians suing each other over the least little dispute. And Paul says in these verses that follow, Paul says you ought to be able to settle these differences between yourselves. You ought to have people in the church that can help you with these problems to find peace. But even if you cannot settle the problem to the satisfaction of those on each side or both sides of the problem, still, it's better to lose a little than cause a big fuss that looks bad on the church. Now, he makes this same point in a different way in verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? What angels? Well, he's talking about sinful angels there. He's not talking about the faithful, good angels. And he means that in the same way in which we find that word judge in verse 2. He means that we as Christians, faithful children of God in the last day, will judge angels by our example, by our life. If we've done what was right, if we've been faithful ourselves, in the judgment day, our example will cast reflection upon them, and in that sense, our lives will judge their bad lives or their bad example. His point is this. If you're going to judge the angels, how much more should you be able to decide in disputes, as he says, that pertain to this life? Now, that's very important to remember as well. Notice two things here. What were these lawsuits about? First of all, they were over the smallest matters, verse 2. They were over the least little disputes. And number 2, they were over things that pertain to this life. What that means is that these were not doctrinal or religious differences. They were civil, earthly matters. They were cases or disputes involving legal matters, money, property, business, purely earthly cases. And Paul says what they should have done was to settle these problems among themselves. In verse 4, he says, "If you then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, these purely civil and legal matters, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." What does he mean by setting them to judge who are least esteemed in the church? Well, there are two different views about that. In the New King James Version and in the American Standard Version and in some other translations, the translators see this as a question. In other words, it is simply this. If you're going to have judgments of things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church? In other words, the least qualified people in the church, the people who have the least amount of wisdom and experience and seasoning in the Lord's service? Well, obviously, you shouldn't do that. So some translations look at it as a question. The King James Version translators looked at it as a statement. And their idea seems to be that the least esteemed person is somebody who is least esteemed by worldly standards. In other words, a person who is truly humble and truly wise. But in verse 5, Paul said, "I speak this to your shame." He's saying basically, shame on you. Surely, he says, there must be at least one wise person there who can help you to resolve this. And that is somewhat of a tongue-in-cheek rebuke. Because remember, these Corinthians thought that they were wise in the world, and they were puffed up about it. But Paul says, you can't even settle these least little disputes over these smallest matters. So Paul says in the first 5 verses, you ought to be able to settle these disputes among yourselves. But even if you can't, these are little matters, and it's still better not to rush to the courts. As a matter of fact, he says in verse 7, it's better to suffer loss. It's better for you to lose a little in earthly matters, even if it's unfair. He says, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And the word defrauded points to what they're suing is all about. It has to do with money. Deals that have gone bad, debts that were not paid, agreements that were not honored. If it's a little thing, Paul says, then let it go. So the question then is, are there cases when Christians might invoke the civil law against people in the church? And the answer from the rest of the Bible would be yes, there are some cases. For instance, in Matthew 19, verse 9, Jesus gives the innocent party in a divorce for fornication the scriptural grounds to divorce that guilty person. Well, that involves the courts. Suppose also that there was a man in a congregation who has molested a child. It would be right, folks, for the congregation to use the law to convict that man. Suppose there is a case of killing. That can happen. But you see, what you're talking about in these cases are big things, not little things. And remember that Paul is saying not to go to unbelievers to settle the smallest matters.